Am I good? Oh, man, I have been amplified. All right, Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to rest our eyes on verse 20. I like this guy. I actually, I didn't even like him much until we went skating a couple of years ago. And I never realized it, never saw it. Mr. Spence was out in the middle of the rink, and he was preaching to the kids about the fact that the ark was a symbol or a type of Jesus. I was like, man, I never saw it like that before. Man, I started liking that story a whole lot more. It's full of all kinds of wonderful things for us to see, some things that we can glean, you know, characteristics that he showed that we should be applying in our lives, even showing of the importance of the gospel. So Noah is the man we're talking about. Genesis chapter 6, from Genesis chapter 6 up to Genesis chapter 8, really. Now, God looked at the world, and he saw that there was an exceeding disobedience in the children of man. We find in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." And so God decided that it was time to wipe the earth clean and start over again. Then we find in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, that God said this about a man. He said, "But Noah found grace in the eye of the Lord, Jehovah God." God called Noah to build an ark, gave him very specific dimensions, and Noah followed them all the way to the letter. Now, Noah walked in a way that showed himself a servant of the Lord. Now we fast forward all the way to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. And this will be our text for this evening. I don't hear any more rustling, so we'll go ahead and press forward. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 says, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, 'I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done.'" Really, my proposition to you guys tonight is, I would have you leave here sure of the fact that you cannot work your way to heaven. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand in front of your people, Father, to deliver your truth. Father, I ask that you would work in my heart, Father, that I might not say anything of myself, Father, but all things that are said this evening would be from you, for your people. Father, challenge our hearts, Father. Smote our hearts, Father, and help us to make that choice and decision that we need to make, whatever it might be, that we might walk out of here, Father, with our head focused towards sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and standing on that same gospel. Lord, we need you, and we thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So first, I would have you notice Noah's obedience. Noah's obedience. Genesis chapter 8. I didn't even turn to it. Shame on me. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Says in the very first part, it says, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." Noah built an ark. Noah built an ark. Noah was a master ark builder, if you will. It might be because he was the only one, but he was a master at it. The Genesis chapter 6 ark was massive. I mean, it was a wonder to behold, a truly amazing feat. The Bible says God talked to Noah directly. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "And God said unto Noah, 'The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, and make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without," with pitch. He built an ark. He built it with gopher wood, as God said, and with one window also, as God said, a door, as God also said. Everything about the ark was built as God said. This is me talking now, but I'm 100% sure that if he had done something a little bit different than what God had said, we wouldn't be talking about this story the way we are today. But God knew who Noah was. God knew the man that he had called to build an ark. Does God know that about you this evening? Does he know that he can call on you and you would follow his word as he has put forth to you? God didn't need Noah to build the ark to keep him and his family safe, but his family and Noah needed the ark to remember the truth of the Lord. I mean, there couldn't have been one grandchild that was born after the flood that didn't know about that great flood that happened, that didn't know about the ark that grandfather had built, that didn't know about the grace that God had looked upon Noah and his family with. Matter of fact, I mean, we're talking about it tonight. I'm one of his great-grandchildren and thankful for the ark that he built. His obedience showed through. His obedience has affected my life. Noah was obedient in building the ark, but he was also obedient in preaching about the ark. Now, Noah did exactly as God said. God spoke to just Noah. And Noah had to go back to his family and tell his family this absolutely crazy thing. I mean, you think about it. Can you imagine telling your family something crazy like God was going to make water come from the sky, something that has never happened before? Tell them something that they'd never seen before was going to happen. How about telling your family that they're sinners in need of a Savior on their way to hell without Jesus Christ? See, what Noah had to tell his family could not have been an easy thing to tell, but he did it, and likewise, we should do as well. Genesis chapter 7, verse 5 through 7, it says, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his son and his wife and his sons' wives and with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." There was a trust that his family had to have in what he said to walk into that ark. That only happened because he proclaimed the truth of the judgment that was coming. The only way anyone helped him build the ark or even entered into it was because of his preaching, him taking the word of God seriously and applying to his life what thus saith the Lord God of hosts. "Go ye therefore into all nations," is what God has told us to do. You know, and he did that. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, it talks about the fact that judgment from God will not be stayed from any man. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the earth of the ungodly." Noah preached the truth. And really, this is it. This is the truth. You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. We will all stand at the judgment seat. We will all be held accountable for our choice. And it's coming. Now, if you refuse to put the truth of the Word of God, put your trust fully in Jesus Christ as your full payment for your sin, you are on your way to hell tonight. If you have family members that refuse to put their trust in the only Son of God, they're on their way to hell tonight. Your friend that you talk to at school, the one you text all the time, the one you speak to on social media that doesn't know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that refuses to put their trust in Jesus Christ, is on their way to hell tonight. Now, Noah, no doubt, didn't just talk to his family. No doubt, he didn't just talk to the ones that were immediately around him, but he told every person that walked by and saw this massive monstrosity. I'm sure you can't look towards Noah's house without seeing this huge boat and him not being willing to explain it to you. I preached before that the word of God is not hidden. God doesn't hide himself. He wants to be found. He wants you to find him. Are you going to seek him? Are you going to follow after him? Are you going to look for him? Are you going to tell other people where to find him? Are you going to live in a way that's going to let someone else know that truth? Do you care enough? Do you care enough? Is it important enough? I mean, is it really real? Are we sitting in this room because it's not real? Or are we sitting in this room because it is real? Are we going to apply that to our life like it's real? How many people did you let walk by you today that you should have at least said that Jesus loves you too? Do you care enough? Noah did. We have to make the choice to tell others, or they're not going to know. Noah was obedient, and he was obedient to the Lord all the way through. He told his family, he preached to his friends, he made sure that everybody knew. He did what God told him to do. He built the ark as he should, and because of that, we're standing here today even talking about what he did. Not only did he show obedience, but he also showed obeisance. Now, Noah sacrificed the clean beasts of the field to the Lord first. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, it says, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl." First, we'll talk about the beast a little bit. I remember a preacher talking about being a world traveler, going around and preaching in places, but being extremely ready to come home. He's like, it was really nice going to other places. It was great seeing people saved and all those things, but there was nothing like being back at home. Well, when his plane landed, he said it took everything from him not to kiss the soil that he was walking on because he was so happy to be home. You know, I think about how ecstatic Noah must have been to have gone through something that was so catastrophic and to be able to step out on land afterwards. You think about how catastrophic the winds were and the rains and the toss to and fro and all the things that led up to even being in the ark that 100-some-odd years. And he was able to walk out with his family. His family was safe because they had trusted in him. Is your family safe? Is your family safe? Noah was ecstatic to be safe, and he prepared for the journey as God had told him to do, building the ark. And he spent 370 plus days in the ark and then exited and was able to stand on ground. Can you really imagine how it smelled in the ark? I mean, I probably would be really upset with cleaning up after animals as well. I don't really like doing that too much, hence why we don't have any. that would have probably made me want to jump out the top. Matter of fact, they probably spent a lot of time on the top deck. But can you think about the work that they had to do in the ark and the enclosing and not being able to move out? And no doubt he was grateful. No doubt he wanted to show that gratitude to God. He sacrificed to God, and the Bible says in the beginning of verse 21 of chapter 8, it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." There was an acceptance of his sacrifice to the Lord, really meaning God appreciated that. He didn't only sacrifice the land animals because he said God is really the ruler and creator of all the land animals, but he also sacrificed the fowls of the air. There is nothing outside of the dominion of God. The air is submitted to him and his will, and the ground is as well. Noah sacrificed animals from the ground and the air to say that God is the supreme ruler of all things. And in all things, God is king. And I trust that you can say that this evening as well. So we talked about the fact that he was obedient to all the way out. There was nothing that God told him to do that he wasn't going to do. We talked about the fact that he showed obeisance or submission to the Lord and sacrificing and giving back to the Lord. And we even saw the fact that God accepted that. But let's look at the response from God. Let's take a look at the response from God really quickly. First, we find that God accepted the sacrifice. Now, verse 21, it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done." God accepted the sacrifice, and while his nose while the nose of God was filled with the sweet-smelling savor because of the obedience that Noah showed God, he showed that in the way he built the ark, as God said. He showed that in preaching the truth to all that would hear. He showed that in him entering into the boat, as God said. Showed that in sacrificing to God when he left the ark, because only God kept them safe. Noah was exceedingly obedient in all the ways that he could be. We don't take God seriously when the Bible says hell is real and people will go there. We don't take God seriously about the fact that we need to enter into the ark of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that obedience is really showing that we believe. I really like that song. Obedience is the only way to say that we believe. You don't know that one? Look, man, look, if you don't know it, you need to sing it. And if you do know it, you need to sing it. I don't care if it's a little kid's song or not. Those words are true. Those words are real. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, the way you enter into the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, and they said unto him, or Paul and Silas were replying to the Philippian jailer, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is a command, not really a suggestion. Salvation requires our obedience to Jesus Christ by believing on the name of the Son of God. Have you been obedient to that calling? Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature by a showing of hands in your heart. How many people said this morning, Lord, help me tell someone about you today. Give me an opportunity to tell someone that I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for me, and you can be as well. Are you obedient to God? Obedience to the word of God is how we are saved. And that's important because of the rest of Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And this is really the crux of all the things that I'm trying to tell you guys or show you guys this evening. We can't work our way to heaven. Noah was probably one of the most obedient men ever. He did everything absolutely right. Look at what happened after he did all of that obedience. He did all that obeisance, all that submission, told every person he could, all those things. Let's look at this once more. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, right? He accepted the sacrifice. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have. What? What? We just went from, I'm doing everything you want me to do, God. I've just submitted myself completely to you. I've led my family towards you, all this stuff. And I'm giving you sacrifice. And then the things that you're saying out of your mouth, that smells good. Man, I ain't going to destroy the world again because these guys are just really still evil. That's what it says. That should be scary to anybody that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ today. I don't care how many nice young ladies that you've helped across the street. I don't care how many dollars you might have given to Kohl's when they ask you if you want to round up for a couple of pennies. I don't care how much help you've given your friends at school. I don't care how much help you give your friends at work. I don't care how many people you let pass you in the car. None of those things will get you to heaven because he was obedient, and that wasn't the thing that got him to heaven. It was his faith in God that got him to heaven. I know what you're thinking, and it's like, man, this is ridiculous. Now, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says this. I should have put that on the paper, but I'm just going to have to turn because I like this one. It's a good reminder for me each day that I need to submit to the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's you. That's me. That's all of us. It's a profound thought that while the most obedient man on the earth, which is Noah, is giving praise to God, God still sees his sin. All that work Noah did, and God could still see his sin. Why? Because we owe a debt that we cannot pay. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commanded the world, or condemned the world, and being heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. His faith in the coming Messiah saved him, and it was counted to him for righteousness, but he still owed a debt. And that debt didn't get paid until Jesus Christ got on the cross and he died for his sins, as well as he died for my sins, and as well as he died for your sins. Putting your faith in Jesus Christ is the only payment for your sins. If the blood of bulls and man, I wish I had taken that verse down, but the blood of and the ashes of bulls can't get the words out of my mouth. But if the blood of animals could have cleansed us, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die. If we could sacrifice enough animals to get to heaven, there would be no animals, I'm sure. I'd kill them all. I don't have a problem with that. Look, if it's between me or heaven, goodbye. But none of that stuff will do it. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what I can burn. It's not about all those things I can give. It's about what God gave to me. It's about what Jesus Christ sacrificed for me. And it's about you and I taking and accepting that sacrifice. And even more than that, it's about you and I taking and accepting that sacrifice seriously. Take it seriously. Not Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and it's good, and then we'll walk away at 8 o'clock and say, well, that was fun. Not 9:30 and 9:45 Sunday morning and say, yep, we're going to turn it on and turn it right off at 12:10. Pastor's still preaching for another 15 minutes. And don't even mention Sunday night. That's my time. We got to accept that gift that Jesus Christ gave. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God, while we were wretched sinners, but God, while we were completely separated from God, but God, while we had no desire for the things of God, but God commendeth or showed his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, when we were completely just had no desire for it, Christ still died for us. That should be serious to us. It should be more serious to me. And it should be serious to you as well. Because it's serious business. People will die. People will go to hell. People you care about. And some of them might be because you refuse to tell them the truth. Noah was obedient in building the ark and building the altar as well. He preached the word unapologetically and was blessed with life for it. He bowed himself before God and gave thanks for his family and his salvation and safety, as we surely should do each day. God accepted his submission to him, and God also acknowledged the truth that without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, without God coming down in the flesh, we are all wretched sinners and we are all on our way to hell. Fast track, one-way ticket, no retries, no redos, done. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross to pay the debt that we could not pay. We can't work it off. We can't do enough. We can't burn up enough animals. Will you put your full faith and trust in Christ? Will you tell those around you so that they can put their full faith and trust in him as well? Will you live in a way that points people towards the gospel of Jesus Christ? What choice are you going to make? And it's a choice only you can make. It's a question. Wednesday nights, when we ride home from the kid with the kids, we play this the game. What did you learn at church? And we just ask them just what they learned, what they heard. I tell them that I have one question for you. It's a simple question, and it's really a question only you can answer. Is Jesus really that important to you? Father, your word is so good. And the truth in it is so good, and that Jesus Christ that died on the cross for our sins, it is so good. And we just thank you for the fact that I know. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the fact that I know for sure, 100%, that when I walk away from this earth, I will be in heaven with you. And it's only because of what Jesus Christ did, not because I deserve it, because Lord knows, you know I don't. You know I don't deserve it. And neither does anybody here. We don't deserve the love that was shown to us on the cross by Jesus Christ, stretching out his hands willingly as a sheep to the slaughter, giving his life for us, the teenager, the adult, the well-seasoned and the like. Father, help us not to take that for granted. Help us not to just take our salvation and run away and tell no one else. Help us to stop playing games with you and take you seriously. Help us to be obedient as Noah was, all the way as you've called us to do. Father, we need you. Thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.